Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
What a great Super Bowl.
I didn't watch a minute of it.
I see you probably watched every moment.
Nope.
It was the opposite of what I wanted to happen.
Yeah, I know the score, and yes, I did not want to see the Seahawks win.
They didn't just win, it was humiliating.
Yeah, it was a humiliation.
They did.
They pantsed the Broncos. It was
sort of like how the Spurs got pantsed against Man City this week.
I saw that. 5-1. Not good.
That was bad, too.
Not good.
I don't think it was quite as bad as this today, but it was bad. But at least Peyton Manning's got Papa John's.
Was it as bad as the Sharks 3-0 loss to the worst team in the league?
No, that was worse.
The loss to Edmonton was worse?
The loss to Edmonton was worse.
Yeah.
Well, dude, in this week is just vintage Sharks, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You go and you get shut out, you know, against the Kings at home, which just hurts your heart. And then you go on the road and you get shut out. You throw 3 million shots at Ben Scrivens. And he sets a new record for saves.
Right.
And you cannot score. And then you go to Calgary and you remedy the situation by losing 4-1.
Right.
And then you go home and you beat the best team in hockey.
I know.
Just classic Sharks, right, dude?
Absolute classic. Dude, although the Ducks might have something to say about the best team in hockey.
Well, dude, you know how I feel about that. Before we get into these, I have a story to tell you.
Okay, I want to hear this.
Well, for listeners who don't know, last week was Mike's birthday.
Right.
Yes, he turned 21.
22. I don't want to be too modest.
And ever since you got me that Worcester Sharks jersey, I've been focused. Like, I got laser focused. I was like, okay.
Dude, you didn't.
I knew exactly what I wanted to get you. I knew it. And I had it all planned out.
Yeah.
And, you know, mid-January, I'm being really responsible. I'm going to take care of this, of what I wanted to do. I placed the order. I'm ready.
Right.
Submitted, paid for. And waiting for my email confirmation back to say, you know, that it's ready. And I get the email back that says what I've ordered is on back order and will not be here until after your birthday.
Did you get a Bulls t-shirt?
So then I'm just, no, that's not on back order. That's just freaking canceled.
That's just gone. We'll
so
talk
I'm,
about that
I'm livid. I'm yeah. just livid. I'm livid because I wanted to get you a birthday present, but I wanted payback.
Why didn't you just go to the adult bookstore like you do every year?
I wanted, because those don't arrive. I wanted the discreet packaging.
Okay. Good for you. Non-molested packaging.
So here I am, dude, with nothing That's in my right. hands. No, it's not okay because dude. I have something, but it's coming, dude. I just want you to see that moment of where I was on top of the world.
Yeah.
And then it was like I got shut out by Ben Scrivens.
Right.
Yeah. It was a sad moment, but did you have a good birthday? I didn't see you.
I did. I had a really good birthday, dude. It was it was in the middle of the week, so you know, it wasn't a lot of pomp and circumstance. But you know, at our age you don't have a lot of pomp and circumstance in your birthday. Anyway, I went out at night, had a couple of adult beverages. It was great times. And then I got to watch the Sharks then lose on Wednesday and Thursday.
You know what it made it better? This freaking gift I have for you. It's not here. It's not here. All right. Anyways.
Dude, on the plus side, we're going to Vegas.
We are. We've got all our reservations taken care of. We got two delicious dinners lined up. We're going to Legacy Stadium.
Yeah.
A full docket of games planned out.
Absolutely.
We should probably do a poll question for what game the listeners would want us to bet on.
Right.
And we'll bet large.
We're going to bet on all the games anyway. It's not like there's going to be a losing thing.
I know,
poll.
But we should let the listeners pick the game of the night.
But the thing, we got to wait till we get close because the discerning listeners will know that the line means everything.
Sure. Well, you can do that. We could put it out on Twitter.
Okay. We'll do that.
We will be your proxy.
So, you know, what's that guy's name? Billy Givens? What's that? What's the gambler's name and the famous sports guy in Vegas? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Anyway, if he's, I'm sure he listens to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He can tell us what we should.
He gets all of his relevant San Jose
Sharks,
small market hockey team news.
Right.
Dude, let's talk about the Bulls. You brought it up. Yeah. Sad.
They're gone.
Just literally
gone. Yeah. I think I told this story before on a podcast, but I went to a game on the 9th of January, and I don't know if I mentioned it during the podcast, but I think there was maybe like 300 people there. I mean, it wasn't a lot of people. And admittedly, it's minor league hockey, and it was in the middle of the week, which, you know, most minor leagues, the Worcester Sharks included, really try to load up games on the weekends. Sometimes they'll play three games in three nights, Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
right,
in order to try to maximize attendance. And, you know, the Bulls were going to do that too that week, and they had Friday, Saturday games and so forth. But this was a Thursday night, and there was nobody there. And it was a little sad. It was a little sad. And, you know, the hockey's not as good. It's you can tell. And, you know, the Cal Palace isn't exactly a great venue. So I think all those things really worked against the Bulls. And I think, see, here's, what do you think the problem is, dude? I'm going to go to you and see if you can diagnose why the Bulls were a failed experiment. Another San Francisco hockey failed experiment. That we had the Spiders in the 90s. Obviously, the Oakland Seals back in the 70s didn't stick. But the Sharks have stuck. How come we don't have hockey in San Francisco, dude?
I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. Well, I think it goes back to a lot of the reason why the 49ers are moving to Santa Clara. Like, I think that San Francisco is a city. The Giants have a huge fan base down here in the South Bay, which is part of the whole problem why the A's are having trouble moving down here and all that. The Giants don't want the A's down here because the Giants are supported largely by the South Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And the city of San Francisco, of course, they support the Giants, but I don't know if in San Francisco there's enough interest in supporting a team that is not in the city. Like, I mean, it's in South San Francisco, which is kind of out of the way and hard to get to, right?
Is it technically in Brisbane?
Yeah, I mean, it's not in the heart of the city.
Certainly
or
not.
So I think that if you're trying to draw upon that crowd, which already has an A-level hockey team to go watch, then you're going to have a problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think in major cities, that's why you don't see a lot of minor league hockey teams in major cities.
I mean, actually, that's what I was going to say, which is San Francisco is a city, and I don't know if I would necessarily call it an awesome sports town. Obviously, there's a lot of people in the area generally, and so you're going to have sports fandom all around, but San Francisco is a major metropolitan area, and those people that live in those cities, they're used to seeing major league games, you know, the Giants, the Niners, the A's, all the Warriors, all these teams that are, you know, top level teams. And I don't think that San Francisco is going to be that interested in a minor league level game of any kind.
There's too much other stuff going on.
Right.
You know, there's too much other stuff going on. And I think what also hurts Bulls is that, you know, now in a totally different sport, I mean, you've got the Warriors across the bridge that are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're competing against a lot of other options that are a higher level of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they fell. And I do. And in San Francisco also has a little bit of a history of being willing to let their teams go. I mean, the Giants almost left back, you know, when we were in high school, remember?
That's right.
They were moving to Tampa Bay.
Then
thank God they got saved. And, you know, the Giants are an institution in San Francisco now for sure.
Right.
And the Niners, I mean, the San Francisco 49ers, they couldn't figure out how to keep them there.
Right.
And they're moving to Santa Clara.
Yep.
So, you know, surprising, no. Last time minor league hockey should be in San Francisco? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's failed multiple times now.
Right.
The Bulls are the new Spiders, right?
Absolutely. The Spiders were only there for 1 year in the IHL in 90, God, what was that, 96?
So now you have a Spiders jersey.
I don't have a Spiders jersey.
Oh, I thought you had a Spiders jersey.
No, my buddy actually that I went to college with has a Spiders jersey. Okay. I have a Spiders hat.
Oh, okay. Well, now we both have Bulls jerseys, and they will be collector's items and good stories for us to, you know, tell my daughter when she's old enough to understand, Daddy, what were the Bulls? Yeah. Let Uncle Mike and I sit down and tell you.
Yeah, I have a great story about Dean Ouellette.
There was a man. His name was Hans Benson. I think we have an email question having to do with...
Oh, yeah. I think someone tweeted... Did someone tweet at us? Oh, no. Someone... Oh, just Russell said you may want to mention the folding of the Bulls. Okay.
Oh, all right.
Done
Russell,
and
done.
Done.
There we go.
Do you want to go to the questions?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, because do we really want to talk about all the losing?
No.
Russell has another question. I was wondering what you think will happen to Tyler Kennedy after this season. I remember how you were saying DW likes to rent players and then sign them to longer contracts. Do you think we will re-sign him? All in all, I'm not sure how I feel about him as a player. Not too many goals, but at least he doesn't make mistakes. Seems like a solid three or fourth liner. What do you think? And what do you think will happen with Boyle? He's the oldest Shark, but I'm pretty sure we could trade him for a younger blue liner or draft pick. I think he may announce his retirement after these playoffs. What with the recent article about how seriously the concussion affected him, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays it safe and retires after the season. It wouldn't be a happy day, but I would love to see him retire in teal. Russell, good questions. Dude, let's talk about Kennedy first. What's going to happen with Tyler Kennedy? We saw this coming when we talked to the Pens guys on the Pens podcast.
Yeah.
I think they pretty much nailed it, exactly what Tyler Kennedy is.
I think it's still unknown. I mean, the jury's out still. I mean, if he goes on a hot streak like we've been told he's capable of and happens to do it in the Western Conference Finals against the Chicago Blackhawks, Tyler Kennedy will probably be in teal for a few more years.
Right.
If he disappears and plays his way out of the lineup or down on the fourth line, then, you know, if he's going to command a $2 million plus salary or something, I don't see them paying that. But we know he's capable. I mean, capable of scoring 15-plus goals. Certainly, it's not like TG Gagliardi is doing much better. He can't even get in the lineup for the Flames.
That's sad.
It is sad.
Yeah,
that's bad. And Kennedy didn't play last night because he's hurt.
Right.
So, but he has been healthy scratch this year.
Yeah, it has happened. Not that recently, but it has happened.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little underwhelmed by Tyler Kennedy. I was hoping for a little bit more out of this guy. But to be perfectly honest, you know, if we look at this past week as Exhibit A, the Sharks team is in desperate need of third or fourth liners. I don't know if the Sharks can really afford just to throw guys off. At this point, Tyler Kennedy, we don't need you. We're going to replace you with somebody great in who?
Well,
John McCarthy, who we're happy to waive and is minus 12.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Right. Well, no, I don't think the answer is within the system. You know, we've seen Araya Hayes seems like a solid guy, player. I mean, good for him for scoring his first NHL goal. He's not ready to make some sort of real contribution.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see him out there in May.
No.
You know? I mean, and it's not that he's bad. It's just there's a reason why he's playing 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? He's not ready. You know, he's able to hold his own for a while, but I don't think we know yet, Russell. I think we'll have to see how Tyler Kennedy finishes the year. The second part of the question takes us into really the big news since we last did our podcast is, you know, Jumbo and Patty signing their 3-year extensions.
That's right.
And then Boiler not.
Yes.
You know, let's separate the two issues here. And what was your initial response to the contract extensions? And do you feel the same about it after a little bit of time to settle it?
Listen, I think that the reactions to these signings fall into two camps, right? And there's the people who say that the Sharks can never go all the way with Jumbo and Patty as the core of the Sharks. And if you're in that camp, then you're not going to be super happy about this news about these guys signing for another 3 years. if you're in the other camp who's happy with these guys and thinks they're good contributors and all those kinds of things, then I think you can say that they got a reasonable amount of money and a reasonable amount of term. So purely from that perspective, I'm not that upset with the re-signings. And I'm not a staunch hater on Patty and Jumbo. You know, clearly the Sharks have said that they're not going to rebuild. They're not going to go and strip the team down to bare metal, wait for some high draft picks, and go the way that the Pens did and the Blackhawks did and all that kind of stuff. So I'm glad that they're getting something, you know, that they're sticking around or something's going to happen. So, you know, I can't say that I'm overjoyed, though, right? You know, it's like you kind of want to see, you know, you just... As a longtime fan, you're a little curious about where the Sharks are going to go from here, right? I mean, this is basically the core that we've had since about 2006, 2000. Mm-hmm. Boyle came in 08. So it's basically the same core since 08. So it's the same team for 6 years, you know, same core. So for those of us who might be itching for something a little different, you know, may not be the most exciting things that could ever happen. What do you think?
I think you summed it up pretty good. I mean, these guys are going to get this or more. You know, if they hit UFA market, they probably would have both cashed out more. They might have got more years, you know. And so in terms of the deal for the player, it's a good deal. I mean, but you hit it right on the head. It's like, well, are the Sharks good with Jumbo and Marlow? Yes. I mean, they are. They're good.
Yeah.
Are the Sharks going to go all the way with Jumbo and Marlow? I don't know. Like, I mean, we've kind of been waiting. And as Father Time just continues to tick away, you know, you can't feel like the odds are getting better, you know, as they get older.
No.
Even though they're both still productive players and they're good players. But it is, you know, I think you've talked about this before when I've brought up trading Patrick Marleau and you're like, well, you know, who's going to replace him? And that's a great question. And I'm sure the Sharks didn't have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
How do you replace a 35 goal scorer?
Not
easily.
He's
an Olympian.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the hardest Olympic team to make.
Right.
Ever. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't just replace him. So if you trade him for a kid and a pick and a prospect, like that's not going to help the Sharks any more than having the actual veteran 35 goal scorer. So
right.
You go with the hand you're dealt and you run with it and you hope that they can maximize their potential that we've all been waiting for
right.
in their shutout this week.
And the Boyle situation is different. It's different in a lot of ways. It's different because of the concussion, and there's obviously questions about that. And it's different because Boyle is over 35 and Marlow and Thornton were both 34.
Right.
And, you know, for those of you who aren't super salary cap nerds, when you're 35 and over, your salary counts against the cap regardless of what happens. If you retire, it counts against cap. The only reason a guy like Chris Pronger's salary doesn't count against the cap is because he's technically on long-term IR for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Right.
And if he decided to actually retire, that would actually be bad for the Flyers, because then the Flyers would be on the hook for all that money in terms of salary cap relief. So Boyle, you can't really sign to a, you know, you don't, it's pretty rare these days, you know, especially after the Pronger thing, to see guys over 35 sign to a 3 or 4 year deal. It's possible Boyle wants 3 years or 4 years, and they say, we'll give you 2 years or we'll give you 1 year.
I think the Gonchar contract from this last year is a good model that a lot of people have been putting out there. The 2 years, $10 million.
Yeah.
Seems fair, you know, and in line with Sharks thinking and with what I would imagine Dan Boyle would consider to be fair. You know, he's not the number one defenseman on this team anymore. You know, he's not going to be playing the lion's share of the minutes. He still is an extremely valuable offensive defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got into it with some people on Twitter this week, you know, who are trying to knock down Dan Boyle. I mean, I think you could criticize his overall play, but you cannot criticize a guy who's second in the NHL in power play goals from a defenseman who's missed 8 games, and he's still second.
Missed 8 games, and you could say he was really not, certainly not himself up till even now. You could make the argument.
But the thing is that I put on Twitter, I said, he scored all these goals post concussion.
Right.
Exactly. So he's better with scrambled eggs. But I'm kidding. But you know,
yeah.
I think you can't say that he's not a valuable part of this team. He is 100% a valuable part of this team.
And looking at his play against Chicago last night, he was great last night. He was really good against Chicago. And, you know, earlier last maybe couple weeks, you know, people pointed out, I've sort of noticed, you notice some mistakes, you notice some plays that, you know, he doesn't normally make. And you go, oh, you know, a little worried. Last night, there was none of that. He looked great on the power play, hit a crossbar, almost right. Scored. There was a lot of good stuff out of Dan Boyle last night. He was in there late in the game. You know, they clearly still are happy to put him in there in difficult situations against top competition. You know,
you can't just come back from a major head injury.
Yeah. Major. The dude was unconscious for 6 minutes.
Yourself. Like, yeah. You just can't. It's not going to happen. So I think everybody needs to just take a step back and realize that. My initial reaction with the contract decision, I was like, oh, that's it. Boyle's gone. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that's true. I mean, I do think, Russell, I had the same thought that you did, that is it possible that when the season's over, that he may just retire? Mm-hmm. Is that impossible? No, I don't think that's impossible. It's got to be life-changing.
Absolutely.
To have gone through what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he may, it's, I don't think Dan Boyle needs the money. I mean, I would like to think, you know, Silicon Valley is expensive, but
still,
you know, I mean, he had a huge, great contract. And I certainly, you know, based on what he said and how it seems like he's plugged into this community, I don't think he'd want to leave. I don't think he wants to leave.
No, I don't think so.
He said he doesn't want to leave. I expect that two-year, $10 million contract to happen, but will it happen before the season's over? I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll hit the open market, though. I think if you're the Sharks, I mean, of course, you want to make sure that he can get through the year, too.
Yeah.
Because, again, he's just kind of figuring it out again, mm-hmm. like getting to be himself. So maybe you do wait. Maybe you say, hey, you know, they've agreed. Okay, I get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wait, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the chances of them signing him are pretty good. I would be really surprised if they just let him go.
You would have a really hard time replacing him.
And to be brutally honest, because of the recent concussions and stuff, and because of his age, and because of his contract status, I don't know if this is exactly a sell-high situation with Dan Boyle, right? You know, I mean, if I want to be nasty about it, if I'm another team, you have a lot of ammunition against giving up a lot of stuff for Dan Boyle. Hey, he's 37. Hey, he had a major injury. I don't even know if he can still play. And he's making a lot of money, and I don't know if I can re-sign him.
Oh, his trade value is not as high as it would have been if he had been healthy or last year. I mean,
that's
certainly.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know, dude. I think if you were a Stanley Cup contender and Dan Boyle was available, I think that if he is playing well, that they're not going to be shy about it.
That's
We got two second round picks for Ryan Clough last year when he had a couple concussions.
What we get for Douglas Murray?
I think we ended up getting 2 seconds for him too, right? Oh my God.
And his statistics are terrible. No, he's the worst defenseman in Montreal right now.
He's not having a good year.
Okay, let's go to Alex. Another email. Questions to dudes on hockey.com, of course, is the email address. With all the injuries the Sharks have had, I'm amazed they're playing so well. On the bright side, they'll
This was written before the...
What?
This came in before, I think, the Edmonton game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. You think? My question is, with all the injuries to the Sharks and the folding of the Bulls, how long do you think Doug Wilson picks up and starts a couple of ex-Bulls? Is this a joke question?
No.
It's not? I don't know.
Benson, I would get the jersey now.
I just 32, number 32.
I don't think that any Bulls are going to be on the team, but I think the first part of the question is an interesting point. If you look ahead to the trade deadline, which... No, there's kind of two deadlines. There's the pre-Sochi deadline, and then mm-hmm. there's the real deadline, I think, on March 7th.
Mm-hmm.
If by the trade deadline, the Sharks are getting Couture and Burrish and Torres. We hope. That's the best case scenario.
That's the hope.
Now, Couture could be back this week, supposedly.
Well, I think Kerr said that he doesn't think Couture will be back before the Olympics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I remember reading that.
Consider me wrong.
Yeah.
I thought I had read that he might have played last night. So maybe they're going to be cautious. And yeah. I don't know.
Just like a day-to-day type of decision.
You keep reading different things that, you know, Torres wants to play before the Olympic break. You know, he wants to play. I'm going Friday.
What?
I'm going to the game on Friday.
You pick Columbus?
Dude, I was given tickets for Christmas, so I'm going.
Okay.
Columbus is actually...
Yeah, they're not
bad.
They're
pretty good now.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Speaking of... Oh, that smells of a 1-0 loss.
Doesn't it,
crap.
Though?
Crap. Anyways.
Well, dude...
With getting those three guys back, a little bit of injected fresh legs, yeah. Maybe even though one of them surgically repaired.
Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to see. I mean, this is going to be a complete... If that happens, this is going to be a completely different team in a month. Completely different.
Right. Right, because then who drops out of the lineup then? Based on who we saw.
Hayes
drops out.
McCarthy's already out.
Kearns drops out.
Maybe, yeah.
And Brown drops out.
Oh, yeah.
So then you're...
Brown before Kearns.
Well, and Tyler Kennedy would have played last night for James Shepherd. So you're looking at, you know, you've got...
Who had a pretty good game, actually. James Shepherd played pretty well, surprisingly.
So if all those guys are back... Are you happy with that mix? And of course, we're counting Martin Havlat, too, who has played.
He played last night.
The last two games.
Right.
Three games.
Right.
He played in Edmonton.
Basically invisible, but he was technically there.
I keep reading that people are saying that he's playing well.
He has great vision on the ice. I mean, the guy was an elite player once. You can see that on the ice, but the problem is it never, there's no finish. It never sort of happens.
Right.
It never develops. So... It's sort of, I wouldn't necessarily do an even comparison with Scott Gomez, but it's a similar situation with Scott Gomez, who was a great player once. You see him, he tries to make these plays that he sort of no longer can follow through with. And that's kind of what's happening with Marty Havlat.
So the Sharks have, according to CapGeek, $1.7 million of LTIR savings saved up. They can acquire a player without giving up any roster player, worth $1.7 million. Now, I mean, I have a theory that they could probably go to 2.5 and make whoever is, you know, doing the deal with you. If we're going to give you our second, you got to take Shepherd, and you're getting now that room too. I don't think that kind of scenario is impossible, but after reading another thing that Kurz wrote saying he thinks they're going to be looking for a top six forward, first, I don't know how you get that for that price, and I don't even know if that's the biggest problem.
No,
I don't know if that's the biggest.
Oh, I don't think it's nearly the biggest problem. The biggest problem is the bottom six, clearly.
Right.
I mean, if you want to solve the bottom six problem by demoting top six players, I guess that'll work in terms of the Joe
Pavelski thing. No, it doesn't work. That does because it's not the same thing.
Right.
You have to know your role.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen this. As a problem with Sharks rosters in the past is that you've got guys playing in the bottom six that aren't willing to do what they need to do. You know, I mean, the Kings are a perfect example. The Blackhawks, perfect example of two teams that had bottom six guys that knew exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah.
And they were really good at it, you know, and they thrived getting the energy from those guys, you know, Are you happy with if they're healthy, just that's the group? Or do you still think there needs to be another person brought in?
If we got that kind of cap room, I wouldn't mind seeing another third line player.
Yeah.
Which I think you could get.
Yeah, there's still so many teams that are just kind of alive, especially in the East. It's going to be hard because a lot of those teams are still within striking distance of one of those wild card spots.
Right.
A few teams are dropping out. I mean... Buffalo's out, but they don't really have anybody that fits what we would need in the price that we want.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not going to get
Ott,
Steve Ott makes too much money.
Exactly.
And so does Matt Molson. I mean, those aren't going to be the answers, right?
Matt Molson's a top six guy.
Right. I mean, you're not going to be able to give up what someone's going to be able to do for him.
Yep.
Dude, I want to throw a name out there. I'm not making a case either way. Are you interested in Ryan Smith at this point in his career? What if he was available? Does he help, or is that?
I don't know if he helps. I mean,
is 5 years ago.
Yeah, how is he different than Marty Havlat? Like, is he a guy that you want to play on the third line?
Well, I mean, maybe over Martin Havlat. I mean, yeah, I would think at
but
least.
But that's kind of a low Smith, bar.
Well, the thing with Smith that made me interested is that you put him on the second unit power play, and you've right. got basically
you just put him
that Holmstrom thing yeah. that yeah. he terrorized us with that, and he knows how to do that, and he could be effective doing something like that. But that's not really Doug Wilson's MO, bringing in a Yager or a Smith, like a guy who's like at the end.
Bill
right?
Guerin.
Well, but Bill Guerin continued to play,
mm-hmm.
you know. Smith, after this year, he might be done. Right?
Right.
And
yeah.
Yager, I guess Yager could play until he's 60, but
yeah, Yager's pretty
like that's
damn
not
good.
Really Doug Wilson. Doug Wilson usually trades for guys that he wants to keep, that mm-hmm. he wants to stay. This is like his little like preview on, you know, making your home in San Jose. So I don't know. That was just a name that I thought of as I looked at the teams that are clearly out of it.
You're right. Well, it's interesting, dude. Let's look at the schedule coming up here and see what we can get.
Well, I'll tell you, tomorrow night against the Flyers.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting.
Might be a better game than you would have thought it would have been a month ago.
Are they gonna start scoring though? The Sharks have scored 2 goals in the last 4 games.
Ah, and that might be why it's not gonna be such a bad game. I mean, the Flyers, and Sharks without Couture. You know, is a definitely more of an even matchup. The Flyers defensively are abysmal. They're terrible. Mm-hmm. They're awful. They beat LA. I mean, they beat LA.
Flyers aren't a joke. Like they
no,
were the
they're not
the
a joke. They're not good defensively, but they're not a joke.
Beginning
so,
of the year, they were kind of laughable, but now they're not.
Dallas, that might be a harder game than a lot of people think, just yeah. based on the fact that. And. They could score a little bit. I mean, they're not lighting the world on fire, but I mean, they're back in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
They're not out of it. You know, Vancouver's that last wild card was 63 and Dallas is next with 59. How about Winnipeg?
Yeah. Not good. Well, they're a little unlucky. They're only -5 in the goal differential column.
No, Winnipeg. Well, I'm saying Winnipeg good lately. Eight of their yeah. last 10.
Yeah.
I mean, like they, I mean, they're the team that right now is going, damn it, no Olympic break.
Yeah, right. I want to keep playing.
They want to keep playing because they'll play their way right into a wild card spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
So, and then on Friday, Columbus. Last game before the Olympics.
Columbus, where, and they're in the yeah. third spot
they're
right
in
now
third
in
spot.
The
right
Metro.
Now they're tied with Philadelphia. Philadelphia would be, actually, they would be on the outs right now behind right. Detroit. But they're in the mix. I mean, they're in that wild card mix. I mean, there's so many teams there. Look how close that is, dude. Philadelphia, Carolina, Washington, New Jersey, and Ottawa, and Detroit all kind of milling around there within a point of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It'll go down to the wire, dude.
Yeah, so we got some good games here before the Olympic break. Only 3 games left, and we'll be back here, of course, and we'll talk about those games, and we'll talk about Olympic hockey during the break and all the other stuff that's going on, and see if the Sharks can turn this baby around. I was really surprised at the Chicago win and pleasantly at that.
What's your expectation for this week? I mean, 3 home games, like
you got to beat Dallas, absolutely. I mean,
I feel like you got to have 5 points this week. I mean, you got to have 5 points this week.
Given the way they've been playing lately and the way they've been scoring, I don't think we're going to get 5. But I want to see at least a win in against Dallas.
Well. I'm gonna say 5 points this week, too.
Wow.
We've got to have 5 points. Like,
all right.
You can't. There are still 10 points ahead of the Kings right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could go into the break with that gap being the same, 10 points, that's going to be hard for LA to make up.
Mm-hmm.
This can be hard. And
especially if we have Couture and all these guys
yeah,
back.
Yeah, that's going to be hard. And I think we've said it a million times. What's the most important thing when it comes to playoffs, dude?
Streaking at the right time?
In the first round, because we know who
yeah.
we're playing. That's not going to be a secret.
Yeah, we're playing the Kings.
You got to have home ice.
Yeah,
You must have home ice. Whoever has home ice in that series will win, and it will be us.
Amen to that. All right, dude. I'll talk to you next week.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.